You're listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. You ask, we answer your drone questions. Whether you're here to turn your passion into profit or you simply fly for fun, we're a community of learners and teachers who aspire to achieve greatness. We are
Drone You.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another interesting and thought-provoking episode of Ask Drone You. My name is Paul.
And my name is Rob, and this is episode 1059, by the way. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate it very much.
Well, I left the door open, Rob, so hopefully we don't get any interruptions, but let's keep on.
Well, at least my mic's in front of me.
Yeah, hey, you know, it's one thing that goes right. Today is one of those days that I wish that we had a few more small wins, but we can't get so caught up in those small wins that it ruins the rest of the day. But anyway, beyond the life coaching, we are here to provide you with news, industry insight, and intel. And we are here to answer your questions. Don't be afraid to throw up your question. Go to askadroneyou.com and let us know if you have any business questions, if you have any cinematography questions, if you have any mapping questions, or you're simply just trying to focus on where to focus on working on your business. Send us those questions as well. In fact, today's question, I think, actually hits working on my business, mapping, and equipment. So it takes something that's really exciting to buy new stuff and then breaks it down to make you realize how hard you have to work to actually make said thing profitable. So we're going to be talking about that today. Very excited to talk about that. And excited to get your opinion, Rob, because this is your time to shine as an accountant. So...
Is that what you're referring to, my head?
Oh, no, that's every day.
So my time to shine is every day. Gotcha.
That being said, today's question is brought to you by our very good friends over at GPC. GPC cases, it's one of the few products that's actually lasted my entire drone career. If you like protecting your stuff, even if the cases do outlive the product, you gotta check out Go Professional Cases and use discount code DRONEU15 if you like supporting people that make you feel good about life. Thanks, GPC.
Indeed. Thank you. Good people over there.
Hey, Paul and Rob. It's Rich down here in Northeast Arkansas. First off, I wanted to thank y'all for all y'all do. Had a great time down in Austin in the mapping course. I also look forward to the flight mastery course when y'all get here in Little Rock. So can't wait for that to happen. My question is related to drones and businesses as small business owners. Like, as a small business owner, oftentimes starting out, it's difficult to know what questions to ask a drone retailer to ensure we get what we want out of our drone. For example, you got the shutter, you got megapixels, you have if it's RTK, if it's not RTK, if it is RTK, does the time sync work, for instance, in DJI, et cetera. If you could give any advice, say 5 to 10 points to small business owners on how they should go about questioning drone retailers to ensure we don't buy something that we don't need, for example, rolling shutter. I'm just kidding. Appreciate all y'all do again, and I look forward to seeing y'all in Little Rock. Thank you.
Thank you, Rich. Appreciate the call very much. Appreciate you attending a mapping class. We look forward to seeing what you do with that information and that knowledge. It's been really cool to see people that have attended previous mapping classes getting out there and getting some amazing work out of it and really just sort of shooting past their competition. It's awesome to see. We have no doubts that'll happen for you as well. So, you know, it's an interesting question for a couple of reasons. One is I don't know that we find ourselves in a position to be asking a retail store or sales associate some of these questions, but I think conceptually, there's actually a lot that we can talk about and think about here. And so if we look at the question in that context, it really works and it makes a lot of sense to try to help folks out. You know, one of the things that Paul and I were talking about, number one, I'm sure Paul has a long list of things to share with you all in that you mentioned 5 to 10 things. He could probably go to 50, but we'll try to keep it in that 5 to 10 range. But also, before you ever get to that point, let's say you are in a city, let's say it's Denver, and you're going to go to the DJI store. Because they have those there. And you're going to sit in front of that sales associate and ask these questions that Paul's going to share with you. I think before you ever get to that point, you better have a pretty good sense of what your goals are with your business, right? And you better have a pretty good sense of what you can charge for the services that you're going to go out and solicit. So if you don't start there, then any of the questions that are going to come about a particular drone are not, I won't go so far as to say meaningless, but they're going to be less effective in terms of helping you achieve the goal, because at that point you don't know what the goal is. If you know what kind of services that you want to go solicit and you feel confident in those and you're working on your craft and you're learning how to fly and you're learning how to process and you're learning how to edit and you're learning how to delegate to people that are helping you with all of those things, if that's the route that you choose to go, by the way, I think you should do it yourself for a while so that you learn it, so that you know what you're even delegating. But that's a side note. Once you understand those things and you understand what you can charge, and remember, you got to localize this, you got to bring it into your part of the country, your part of your state, because it literally can vary from state to state. Take here in Albuquerque, what we could charge in Albuquerque is probably very different from what one could even charge in Santa Fe, which is
so true.
50 miles away, right?
So true.
So you really got to have a good sense
of the market.
Of the market that you're working in. And then you got to know, okay, if I'm going to be able to make that much money, let's say you've got a great contact and you're going to be able to do some commercial work. So that includes some internal stuff, or I should say some ground photos of the internals of the property, things that Vic can teach you, in addition to some video, in addition to maybe even some mapping. Maybe it's construction that's going on. And so you're going to be able to give them progression type deliverables. So let's say that over a 6-month period of time, 12-month period of time, you can calculate, maybe even have a contract for it. We've heard of people that have done this. They've got a contract for 12 to 18 months, right? So they know that we're going to be bringing in $1,000 a month, 18 grand. Not everybody's going to be in that position, but let's just use that extreme. Okay, now you know I've got to go to the DJI store and present this as my foundational basis for asking the questions about what drone I'm going to want. Now, I would also say, have a pretty good sense before you ever go to the store, right? I mean, I certainly understand what you're saying about getting to the store and having some expertise on their part help you choose. But with the amount of information that's available nowadays, I would think that you'd want to have a pretty good idea. And you're essentially, at that point, only getting confirmation that your ideas are correct, or maybe they're a little off. And so maybe they can help in that regard. But And that's what you're doing, actually, by calling in this question and getting some of this information from us and from Paul. So applaud you for that. But yeah, just make sure that you have a really good understanding of, if I spend X amount on a drone, how long is it going to take me to make that back? And my hunch is that most of you are thinking in those terms. But I also know, so similar to somebody that goes and buys a house, one of the problems that people run into, or one of the mistakes people make, happens every single day in our housing economy. They go out and they look for homes before they've ever run a budget. Not everybody does this, but a lot of people do.
Guilty.
And they start looking at homes before realizing how much they need to put down. They haven't figured out even what their credit scores are. There's a lot more information out there now, so I think fewer people are doing that. But it happens every single day. And so the same thing can happen here. You just get excited, you get enthused, you go to a class, you get your Part 107, you go buy a drone. And by the way, we've run into people doing this fair amount, right? They'll literally reach out to us and say, I bought this drone and now can you help me figure out what to do with it? That's backwards. So don't do that. Have a good idea of what your foundation is. Then move into what kind of questions are you going to ask?
Well, it's funny because I was just sitting here thinking, you know, oftentimes I hear retailers all the time complaining that customers don't really know what they want. They just go in and they look at all the different specs of what a drone can do without thinking about, okay, what is my deliverable? But I just don't know if there's a singular answer for the questions that you should be asking, because this all comes down to, like you said, you've got to be researched. You've got to know what deliverable you're trying to acquire from that particular drone. The reason that I hesitated in mentioning that to as far as knowing exactly what you want out of the drone is that I didn't really go about it that way. And it wasn't until after the fact that I realized that the Phantom 4 Advanced is by far the best drone for the money because of its maneuverability, its portability, and its flexibility, because the flexibility in having that that really well-rounded camera sensor just provides Well, value in numerous verticals of the drone industry itself. So it also made me think of, you know, I was starting to go into this, you know, I've heard all the times from drone retailers that people come in, they don't know what they want, they buy something and then they complain. And it's funny because I see this issue on both sides of the spectrum, right? I think excitement is one of the best and it's one of the worst emotions that we can ever have. It's the best in that it's a euphoric sense of dopamine drip that just makes you feel amazing, but you don't know what you don't know. And oftentimes what can happen is that, you don't know what you don't know.
Right.
And if you go in there and you've gotten bad advice on the internet, which there's a lot of, you haven't checked your sources on information, you can just run into so many problems. And it's like at the end of the day, excitement is the worst because it blinds you from thinking about all of the consequences down the line. And I think it's important to understand and note that what do most people in jail have in common? And I think it's easy to understand that what they all have in common is their potentially their inability to look at the consequences of what they're doing down the road. What is this going to, what effect, if I do this action, what's going to be the reaction? What's going to be further reaction? Where is this going to put me? Is this ultimately what I want?
Mm-hmm.
And it's so hard for many of us to just counter our emotions in the moment and take a deep breath and sit there and think to myself, why do I think this way? Should I think this way? Is what I'm thinking actually the truth? And is there any way that it's not the truth? You know, like it's all those right. questions, you know? And so going into the very specific nuanced question of what questions should I ask a retailer? Well, Richard, who was in our class, brought up a really good point. Almost every single mapping class, we have someone who brings in an M210, and it's a very robust looking vehicle. It definitely, you know, when you present that as a corporate beltway bandit to your boss, you look really good. It's not, you know, 2 years down the line when you get fired because you guys couldn't figure out how to use the thing or make it profitable for the company that you're going to realize that impressing your boss for a few months wasn't really worth it for the long term of your career. This goes back to thinking about consequences. Anyway,
indeed.
That being said, oftentimes when people bring these 210s, one of the questions that I always bring up is, you know, I hear John McBride has these great videos he puts out. He's kind of stopped doing them, which is interesting. But in his videos, you know, he talks about the time sync feature on the M210 V2 and utilizing it on the X7. So every time we have a new 210 come in, you know, is it updated? Okay. You know, double check, is it updated? Because sometimes you ask people and they're on the spot and they just want to say yes so they don't feel stupid. I get that. Honesty is key though. But anyway, that being said, I think it's just so important to check, is it updated? Does the time sync app, is it actually writing the RTK data to the imagery? Because if it's not, if the RTK is not working with the imagery to write that data, then it's really not valuable for us. And time and time again, I mean, up until I think even the most recent mapping class, hey, is time sync working for you? Hey, is time sync working for you? Hey, is time sync working for you? And then oftentimes I find that in order to map with the 210, you've got to use the Pilot app or Ground Station Pro. And I literally gave a 20-minute talk at a photogrammetry conference about there's an issue with metadata in Ground Station Pro when utilizing the X7, because the X7 should be a phenomenal mapping sensor, but it's not. And I think it's because of how the data is being worked. But anyway, that being said, I haven't run across a student yet that's had time sync working for them. Now, that could be a factor of the student, not necessarily the equipment itself. So the reason I'm talking about time sync specifically is that if you go into a store, Rob, and you say, hey, I want to buy an RTK drone. I need a drone to do mapping. It's got to be able to do RTK. Well, in the drone industry, for a very long time, we've talked about, yes, that drone is RTK. But what that meant was that drone has a higher precision compass and potentially two of them, and your drone is using that to fly more accurately. It does not actually mean that that vehicle is getting real-time kinematic corrections to the RTK system to get a precise location of where it actually is. And then there's the next step, which is the RTK getting those real-time corrections and then writing them to the image at the right time. So this is the whole time sync app, right? Mm-hmm. Now, with the Phantom 4 RTK, this is all done seamlessly, and it's done very, very well. And it brings up the question oftentimes of, you know, people go out there and they want to map with an M210 RTK. They oftentimes want to use the X7. I will just say that with my experience in testing it, it causes a lot more blocks and it causes matching errors that I haven't actually seen before. So when we're talking about the macro, what questions should you ask? We're talking right now, digging deeper about time sync and how there's one caveat that it works on one particular bird, but we haven't really seen it work consistently on another bird. And we bring this up because you have to know the equipment, you have to know how it works. And if you don't know how it works, then how are you sure that you're actually buying the vehicle that you need? And this is why in our new enterprise program, we took our old comprehensive course, we're throwing in the drone systems because, Rob, I believe that everyone should really know the systems that they're working within. They should know how they work. They should know how they work together, because if they don't, well, then how do you expect to solve problems in the field? How do you expect to alleviate client concerns when you are in the field? In addition, you know, there's just so many points, so many rabbit trails I can go down here. But the idea is, just to wrap up that quick point, is that you have to know the systems, you have to be able to verbalize the questions very well. And then lastly, I think you should have the retailer prove it. I know that that's not traditionally something that you do, but with these drone enterprise businesses, these drone stores, typically they can demo it to you. And I don't know about you, Rob, but if I'm going to drop 10 grand on something, I want to see that crap work.
So, definitely.
There's one particular client that we've been working with, and unfortunately I can't use their name, but I really love how they treat other manufacturers. I really love it. I mean, like, almost to the point of like, I want to take everyone in that company or agency and buy them all a drink to say, you guys are awesome. But instead of, hey, Rob, I'm interested in looking at a new drone RTK. I need something that's weatherproof. You know, I need something that just, you know, always works and has, you know, a very enterprise look to it, right? Mm-hmm. It's like sending your daughter to the mechanic to say there's something wrong with the car. The mechanic is going to find everything wrong with the car. You know how many times I've watched my sister like do this? And finally, when I was like 19 and I was like actually like old enough to like have a decent presence, I finally just like looked at the guy and started shaking my head. And I asked him, I forget exactly what I said, but I was like, how many times did you go through the car looking for everything that was wrong? And he like froze, and instantly when he froze, I knew, like, I saw the guilt on his face. And I was just like, how do you, like, you know, I'm using a calibrated question now. I did not do this when I was 19, but I remember something along the lines of, how do you expect her to pay this when it's pretty clear the look on your face that you might have taken advantage of her? And then how do you expect me to sit here and not be completely upset, talk to your manager and do everything I can to put you in a bad place right now? You know,
well,
so
he was doing what his manager told him to do.
I know, which is unfortunate to say the least, which is when it comes to car dealerships, I actually, you know, I stop talking to the plebes and just say, just go get your manager, because you're not going to be able to do anything. So just go get him. And it's like, it's not anything against you, man. Why should I argue with you when I can argue with this person? Okay, that was a tangent. Back to the questions. What I love about this particular company and this particular group is that instead of going and sending their daughter to the mechanic without knowing what they want, they came up with a defined set of scenarios. And they said, you know, your drone or the drone that you say that you're bringing here has to be able to do X, Y, and Z and, you know, boom, boom, boom. For example, your drone has to be able to set up and take off in 30 seconds. It's really funny how many people will say their drone will take off in 30 seconds because they start counting when they get the drone like out of the box and they're like, okay, let's start counting. And they take the drone out of the box, put it on the ground, get the remote out, turn the phone on, and then they're sitting there and they're actually at like 90 seconds to 2 minutes. And I literally watch this guy. He's like, okay, go home. And they're like, wait, what? And you're like, well, part of the defined rules were that you had to deploy from the vehicle and have the drone in the air in 30 seconds. You said you could do that. You just failed. Thank you for coming. Goodbye. And I was just like, oh, get out of here, fool. And that was like my reaction to hearing this story. I was just like, wow. See, that's how it's done.
It's right up your alley. Huh?
Every person I've ever met in this life who's successful is the trust but verify. They're not going to degrade you or make you feel stupid for how you present yourself or your product or how you've done it. It's just, you know, that's very exciting. Can you prove it? And it's not like, no, we're going to dance around and prove it. You're either going to prove it or take a walk. Sorry, I really wanted to say a lot of cuss words after that, but I just totally held it all in.
Good restraint.
But anyway, so that very long-winded story for do a demo if you're buying expensive equipment. Let's take the example of the 210 and the P4RTK, let's just call it $8,000. I don't even know how much the M210 RTK is now. Last time I checked, it was like $17,000. So let's just say $8,000 and $18,000.
Wow.
If I'm doing a mapping job, let's say I'm subbing out for a surveyor. Surveyor's pulling points. I'm doing the mapping. I get $250 an hour. Let's see. Let's say I work, 16 hours a week. Okay, calculator. All right, 16 hours a week times 250. Okay, $4,000 a week. Now, for him to get to that point would probably actually take a lot of jobs, a lot of relationship building, and a lot of learning along the way. So one of the factors of this formula, Rob, is the time that it would take to get up to the point where you're actually making money on this vehicle. So we
Absolutely.
Have two drones, $18,000, one that's $8,000. Let's say that we're able to make $4,000 a week after, you know what, it took Dave and John, he said like, I can't remember, it was like 14 months or something that he's been working on this relationship. So let's just cut that in half for the sake of time. Let's just call it 7 months. Okay. So 7 months to actually get to the point of making $4,000 a week. And then let's say that we're able to hold that for 3 months. Okay. Cause there's always undulations in the market. You could have more work. You could have less work. Okay. It also depends on what state you're in. Does your state
True.
Require mortgage surveys? Anyway, I'm not getting into the weeds.
Well,
here.
And what's the weather in your state? There's all sorts of
so many
things to think about. The education that you're going to need to be able to actually do what you want to do.
Yes, which is
things.
Why it's always good to be crazy conservative mm-hmm. when thinking about how long is it going to take for me to make enough money to pay this off. Okay. What do you got? I know I've been seeing you typing.
Oh, no. I was doing some other stuff, podcast related, but not specific to that. I was listening. But one of the things that I've noticed as it relates to this, and I still would like maybe just kind of a simple list of things people can ask, like, battery length and just kind of some simple things that people might be interested in relative to the different things that they might be wanting to do with their drone. But when it comes to the 210, having brought that up, or that level of drone resource, what I've seen is it's usually a company that's buying it. And by that, I mean like a larger construction company or something, a larger engineering firm. Or it's somebody who has, let's say it's an engineer who's maybe in his late 50s, who is retired, is ready to start trying something different, and they have the means, right? So they actually haven't gone through this process. Not all of them. There's always exceptions, but we've seen this a lot where there's folks that didn't necessarily think all that through because they didn't have to. And then they're stuck with the drone.
Yep.
Not knowing how to use it and asking us, can I bring it to the mapping class so that I can learn? And it doesn't quite work that way.
I would say that this problem is rampant because you have people that just buy drone equipment because it looks cool. The perception is that's professional grade. That's what we need.
Yeah. And I'm sure there's some of that. I'd give them more credit than it looks cool. I think they realize that it's sophisticated and it can do sophisticated work. But what they maybe haven't evaluated is, yeah, but do I really need that to do that sophisticated work? Is it necessary? What do I gain? What is my incremental gain for the incremental increase in cost and the incremental increase in time spent getting it in the air,
mm-hmm.
or the incremental cost of maintaining it, on and on and on. So I don't know that that gets thought of a lot. It doesn't appear so. Changing for sure, but I think there's definitely been a learning curve there for many people in the industry, including us to some degree.
100%. And we're not perfect by any means.
No.
Seriously. Okay. So one of the things that I wanted to talk about was the ROI calculator,
mm-hmm.
because I think this is something that's extremely important. And with that said, let's say that you got that, we're going to take the $4,000 per week, 16 hours, $250 an hour. And let's just say that we get one of those fully loaded weeks per month, okay? Because it takes a lot of time to build up the relationships, the trust in the business to actually have recurring work like that. One of the biggest problems in the drone industry as a DSP is the recurring work, which is something that I've been very blessed at because I unknowingly followed the client quadrant for high profit, low maintenance. And holy cow, that has saved my behind over and over and over again. But okay, so I found a return on investment calculator that takes the estimated equipment cost and the annual benefit. So I took the annual benefit, took that $4,000, right? Actually, let's go down on this because we talked about it would take probably 6 to 7 months on a very short time frame to work that up. Let's say that we take the year, mm-hmm. right? 12 months, $4,000 per month. Okay. But let's say it takes half the year to get to that point. Okay. So we're really only looking at 24,000 in annual benefit, $4,000 per month. We're going to multiply that by multiply that by 12, divide by two, 24,000. Okay. Let's say that we can only use the drone for 2 years. I think that's actually extremely important because typically drone rollover is faster than that. So annual minimum interest rate. So I'm guessing if you're paying interest on this equipment at a 7% yield. So, if we make $24,000, the net present value is $25,392.44. The payback is 3/4 of a year, which says no brainer, and the internal rate of return is 99.93%. Okay, that's with an $18,000 estimated equipment cost. Now, if I take that down to $8,000, right? And the same amount of annual benefit. I know this is not a good calculator and I see you stressing about it already, but anyway, but if we take $8,000 versus 18,000 as an estimated equipment cost, okay, then now we're at a net present value of 35,392, a payback of 1/3 of a year versus 3/4 of a year. And the internal rate of return is 279%. Which I think makes you look very good. Here's the thing. When it says total cost of equipment, it's asking for shipping, delivery, equipment, installation, startup, debug, and everything required to get the machine into production. So hold on 1 second. If we take $18,000 for the unit and then $1,000 for the RTK subscription, and then we take shipping, and then we take the case, and then we take... let's see, TB55s, it's going to take 5 sets of them. Add the battery cost, extra props. That's a lot. RTK unit, well, he may not need that. Checkpoints, 250. Okay, so now we're at 23,350. Okay. All right. Interesting. This calculator seems messed up. It's still telling me I'm getting an internal rate of return at 65%.
I think it's accurate, but it's just not telling the whole story. It's a very simplified perspective on that question, because there's a lot more costs that go into the business as well.
True. Thinking about that.
And this might not be the place to go into all those details, but
sorry.
You get...
Trying to go down the rabbit hole, but
no,
not too far.
No, you're just trying to help people understand sort of the process that one needs to go to figure out if something is worth it to them. I guess what I would love for you to do is just say, here's the main things you need to consider when buying a drone. And let's just take the average person. right? Not everybody that's going to be a mapper and will look at the drone business the way that, say, you would or many of the folks that have been to our mapping class.
I just think that the mapping class adds a lot more complexity. And sure. That's something that people should think about, even if they're not buying equipment for just mapping, because I think it's incredibly important to look at it from a detailed, nuanced perspective in order to be real with yourself.
Yeah. No, I agree. I've
lived with the hell of saying, oh, I'm going to make this money. I'm going to pay this and lost my asshole. Sorry.
That's gross.
Anyway, so be conservative. Okay, questions to ask a dealer. First of all, I would have them go through the entire workflow of whatever deliverable you're trying to acquire. That way you can make sure that it actually works. It also is going to showcase the level of depth and information that a lot of these retailers have, because I've found that a very small percentage of them actually understand what they're talking about, especially when it comes to mapping. That being said, I think it's really important to... See, it's just that everyone is set up to fail, Rob. As I sit here and think about these questions, everyone is set up to fail. I'm like, what questions should I be asking? I don't ask these people questions because I don't give a damn what they think. I already know what the drone does because I had time on it. I know what it's capable of.
Yeah, that's why I said that this is more of a conceptual question, because I think he's framing it that way of let's go ask the retailer, but he's really asking... us, what should I consider?
Well, I also know why he's asking the question, because I've had a very long and detailed email conversation with this particular member.
Sure.
And I know that he's trying to very extremely accurately map rice paddy farms in Arkansas. And I know that he's trying to get, you know, centimeter level detail while also trying to get 400,000 acres or 100,000 acres mapped or something like that. So I also know that he's been looking at a bunch of fixed wing options.
Gotcha.
And he's been looking at the real true viability of those fixed wing options.
Okay.
Because with fixed wing drones, some drones have the camera mounted in a position that when they land the fixed wing drone, over time, it can cause damage to the camera. So I think, look, you really got to like ask for a demo. I mean, that's what it really comes down to, because you want to see the workflow of them going through, like with a mapping drone, again, more complex, but you want to have them go through and show you that the RTK does connect to the M-Trip network, that it is writing the data. They're able to like prove to you that it's all working. As far as cinematography is concerned, you know, you really want to make sure that when you buy that X7 and that Cine SSD, that you understand that the 500 gig card is only going to allow you to shoot 16 minutes of 5K footage. It's funny because we're here talking about what questions can we ask our retailer, when I think the fundamental truth is you cannot trust the retailer at the end of the day, because they just spout off whatever the manufacturer tells them to spout off. And the ultimate indicator that I'm absolutely correct in this and not flawed at all is flight time. Every drone manufacturer measures flight time either in China in Shenzhen or in California in Los Angeles, where the net elevation, MSL, is maybe like 75 feet, okay? And density altitude is amazing, and it's hot and warm, and it's perfect flying weather. Okay, awesome. But when I go to Denver, and then that 30-minute flight time that was quoted goes down to like 22. So it's just the fact that have to know the environment that you're flying. You got to know the deliverables. You got to see the drone work firsthand. And frankly, as a person who trusts but verifies, I don't trust most retailers, because I know what questions to ask them to fundamentally understand how much they know about the drone that they're selling. So, and I say that with such passion, because recently I was sent someone to a retailer to buy a Phantom. Those people had run out. And instead of him saying, I ran out and I'm expecting more in 3 months, or I'm not sure when to expect more, the answer was, you should check out a Mavic 2 Pro for mapping. And I literally responded to him and the client and said, how do you expect the client to believe this after attending one of our mapping classes? And that didn't sit very well. But I was so furious. I was like, this is such a cop out that I'm going to call you out on it. And like, you know, people are nervous when working with me because oftentimes I will just call you out on things. But I don't think people understand that my intent when doing so is for the greater good and the benefit of the relationship as a whole. But that also tells me something about the person when they answer the question the way that they do.
Sure.
So.
Wow. Well, Rich, there's a lot there to unpack. I hope it's helpful. And for everybody else listening, I hope it's helpful as well. And, you know, if there's anything within this podcast, obviously, that you'd like to maybe dig into a little bit more, let us know. Send a follow-up question.
Yeah, just it's so hard to just come up with questions like, what is the true flight time? Have you seen this thing fly? Have you seen it operate more than 100 hours? Can you show me the workflow of it completing this task? Like, I don't know. The reason I told that story about the practical tests is because that particular group of people is not afraid to say, show me, you know? And like, in our society, we've gone so far away from that. And there's just so much power in saying, prove it.
Definitely.
Just saying.
Most definitely. Cool.
That's going to do it for us today. Sorry, Rob. I know I'm just going and going and going.
No, no apologies necessary.
My name is Paul.
My name is Rob.
And this is Ask Drone U.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity. For they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.